John chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that really follows the Easter season. We celebrated Easter, and now what? Well, we're going to look at this passage in John chapter 21, and I'm going to read the first 17 verses, and I think there'll probably be a lesson in here for all of us today. John chapter 21, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter, now pay close attention to that because that's who we're talking about today. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." Well, Jimmy Bagwell just told me about some fish he caught this week. I like to go fishing too. And old Peter was a fisherman. He said, "I'm going fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with you." They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. They didn't recognize him. And then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have you any meat or food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship or the boat, and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John himself, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, maybe 300 feet, 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples asked him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. And then Jesus came and took the bread, gave them, and the fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So now when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." For he said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Let me begin this morning by asking you a question. Have you ever failed miserably? Maybe there were certain goals that you set. They've not been met. Maybe it was a goal to get a good education. Maybe it was a goal to succeed in business. Maybe there were certain relationships that you had hoped would work out. Maybe a marriage that fell apart, but you feel like you had one failure after another. Then maybe you have failed perhaps in your spiritual life. After you gave your life to Christ, maybe you had high hopes about the difference you were going to make in this world for the Lord Jesus, but you failed in some way, and maybe you've been trapped in some sin, and you may have wondered, "Is there any hope for me?" Or maybe you have thought to yourself, "I wish I had another chance." I mean, all of us probably have wished that. I mean, after you gave your life to Christ, you had high hopes about all that you would do, and you didn't do it, and you just wish for a second chance, and you wonder what things could be like if you'd had another chance. Well, if you have ever felt like that, I've got some good news for you this morning. You see, this story today is for people like me and people like you, people who have failed. And let me say that if you have never failed, You can leave right now because you don't have a clue what I'm going to be talking about. But I think all of us in this room at some times have failed in some way. And this story is for those of us who have just plain messed up about something in life. Well, if you're like that, we're going to have some good news. And it revolves around this disciple Peter, the apostle Peter. You know, I really identify with Peter because I'm a little bit like Peter sometimes. And I imagine the apostle Peter must have felt like this at this point in his life. And you remember the story. If you go back to the Easter story, you remember that Peter had bragged just a few weeks before this that he would never let Jesus down. And he had said that if everybody else ran out on Jesus, he would not let Jesus down. Jesus could count on him. But then you know the story. A few hours later, when Christ was arrested and carried away to be tried and crucified, old Peter denied that he ever knew the Lord, and he denied him three times. He had failed miserably. Spiritually, he was a complete flop. He had let the Lord down in his darkest hour of need, and old Peter was a real failure. Well, this story today gives hope to people like me and you. And this story today gives us hope that, maybe we have failed the Lord in some way. But now here's the good thing about it. Jesus is always willing to give another chance. Now, I'm thankful for that. I've had to have quite a few second chances. And it tells us that God is willing to give us another chance when we've messed up in life. Now, I want to show you this story in our time this morning. There are three things I want you to notice. And I want you to pay close attention to those first eight verses because you see here the disciples returned to fishing. The Bible says, when you come to verse 1 of this chapter, you have a shift in the scene that's taking place. Back in chapter 20, the Lord had met with the disciples in Jerusalem after His resurrection. But in our text today, He meets them up around the Sea of Galilee. And if you're familiar with the other gospel writers, you remember that the Lord had told Mary Magdalene and the other women to go tell the disciples to go to the area of Galilee and He would meet them there. So evidently, that's what's taking place right here. The disciples in the text were doing what the Lord said to do. They had traveled up to Galilee in anticipation of seeing Him one more time. Now, verse 2 tells us about the men who were gathered there. If you look at that, you notice there were about seven of the disciples gathered there. You see their names listed. But now notice this, that Peter is mentioned first. Now, don't miss that. You see, this whole event that we're going to be talking about this morning is designed to reach out to Peter. It's designed to reach out to the Apostle Peter. And in verse 3, Peter told the other disciples, he said he was going fishing. Old Peter was a restless sort of fellow. You study him in the Gospels, he was always doing something, and he was always restless, and he couldn't just sit in one spot very long. And so while they were waiting in Galilee for the Lord Jesus to come one more time, Peter said, well, I've got to do something. I'm tired of twirling my thumbs. And he said, fellows, I'm not going to just sit here. I'm going fishing. Now, I would probably be like that myself. You remember that this was the way Peter made his living. This is the way he made a living before he met the Lord Jesus. In fact, he carried on his business of fishing right here in this same place, up on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe a lot of memories came back to Peter's mind as he waited on the Lord, but he decided that he would go back to his old lifestyle, the way he did things before he met Jesus. You know, a lot of people do that. When they fail the Lord, they quite often feel like they have just blown it. And the old devil comes along and makes them feel like there's no more hope. And they're tempted to go back to those old habits, the old lifestyle. And I've seen that a lot of times in my ministry. I mean, there may be somebody like that sitting here today. And old Peter said, fellows, I am going fishing. Well, verse 3, look at it. It says that other disciples decided they'd go with him. The Bible says they fished all night long, and notice that it says they caught nothing. Kind of sounds like most of my fishing trips, you know. They caught nothing. And by the way, do you know what fishing is? Have you ever heard about the definition of fishing? Somebody has told me one time that fishing is a jerk at one end of the line waiting for a jerk at the other. Now, I'm not talking about Jimmy Bagwell there, but that's me, you know. Old Peter must have enjoyed fishing, kind of like the two old boys I heard about. And they were fishing one time under the town bridge. And they heard a rumble and looked up, and they saw a funeral procession moving over the bridge very slowly. And one of those boys in the boat stood up, took his hat off, put it over his heart. And the other guy said, "That's nice of you, showing respect for the deceased." And that old boy said, "It's the least I could do. We would have been married 28 years this week." But Peter and the disciples went fishing, and they caught nothing. And I'm sure they were tired and discouraged because they had caught nothing. Now, don't miss the lesson right here. You see, sometimes we Christians come up empty like that in our lives. We sometimes try things and they just don't work out. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, we try something and it just gets nowhere. And the reason might be that we're doing it in our own strength and we're not relying on the Lord to help us. And I believe there's a lesson that teaches that if you're not doing what God wants you to do, you'll come up empty. And if you're not depending on Him when you do something for Him, you can come up empty as well. So Jesus said one time, "Without me, you can do nothing." And that could be the description of a wasted life. I mean, that could be the epitaph of the lives of a lot of people right down here. They have toiled all night and caught nothing. In other words, they have wasted their lives. Life is not lived for Christ. Life that is not lived for Christ is a wasted life. And boy, I've seen a lot of that in my ministry over the years. Well, the Bible says in verse 4 that when day began to break and it began to get light, the disciples saw somebody standing on the shore of the lake, and it was Jesus, but they did not recognize Him at first. Maybe they didn't recognize Him because, well, if you've been up early enough, you know how there are shadows and you cannot maybe distinguish what you're looking at. Or maybe it's 100 yards away, see, so they didn't recognize the Lord. And the disciples had a bad night. And they didn't know the Lord was close by. You know, that made me think, there are a lot of times I've had bad experiences and I think to myself, you know, where is God in all this? And I don't feel His presence. But you know what? He's still there. And these disciples had gone through a bad night. They'd gone through a bad experience. That night they caught nothing, but the Lord was going to give them a good morning. And there may be somebody here today, and maybe you're going through a bad time right now. Maybe you've had a bad night last night. But the Lord may be going to do something very special in your life very soon. And the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Well, notice verse 5. Jesus called from shore. He said, "Fellows, have you caught anything?" Just like fishermen do. I mean, if I'm not catching anything, I want to ask and see if somebody is catching something. And so the Lord said, "Have you caught anything?" And they said, "Nope, not a thing at all." Now pay close attention to verse 6. Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship or the boat, and you'll find something." Now pay close attention. You see, when that happened, those disciples might have remembered something that had taken place in the past. They may have remembered the first time they met Jesus. And you need to remember that all of this story was geared to reach out to Simon Peter, who had failed the Lord. Well, when the disciples first met Jesus in Luke chapter 5, the Bible says Jesus got into the boat that Peter owned. They pushed out from shore where the crowds had gathered. Jesus taught them. And then when He finished, He told Peter and the disciples to go out into the deep and cast their nets for some fish. And Peter had said at the time, "Lord, we've fished all night. We've caught nothing." And Jesus convinced them to try one more time. And they caught so many fish, they had a hard time getting them in the boat. And Peter fell down before the Lord in confession of his sins. And from that time on, he and the other disciples followed the Lord. Now, I believe all of that was going on in the minds of the disciples down here when Jesus said, "Go out and cast your net again." Deja vu. They're thinking to themselves, "We have heard this, we've done this before." And all of this was designed by the Lord to reach out to Peter who had failed. The Lord was doing something here. Now, notice verse 6. The Bible says, the disciples obeyed what the Lord said, and they fished some more. And they caught so many fish they could not pull their nets into the boat. And that's exactly what happens when you get the Lord involved in what you're doing. We try things and fail so many times, folks. But when you get the Lord involved, you'll be amazed at what can happen. Well, notice verse 7. The Bible says the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, began to put two and two together. He looked at all of those fish they had just caught. He remembered something like this had happened 3 years before, and he stood up in the middle of the boat and he said, "Fellows, that man right there is the Lord." He figured it all out. And look what old impulsive Peter did down in verse 7. He said, John says, "It's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he took off his clothes, plunged into the ocean, and started coming to shore. Now, I love that. I like that. Peter, just jumped into the lake. That's a typical Peter maneuver. And you just have to love Peter right here. You know, I love a person who loves Jesus so much that he's willing to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Years ago in our church in Anderson, when Iris and I were growing up at Concord Baptist, we had a good friend of ours who was afflicted. She had some handicaps. She had a debilitating disease. She was on crutches. And sometimes I would hear my preacher preach, and he would preach a moving service, and the invitation was given. And we might be sitting at the front, but we would hear a lot of clanging and banging back at the back, and we knew exactly what that was. That was Brenda Fay getting her crutches and taking her leggings and stumbling all the way to the front to come to Jesus. There wouldn't be a dry eye in the house. Now that's kind of the way it was with the Apostle Peter. John said it's the Lord, and Peter just took off after the Lord with the other disciples in the boat bringing up the rear, but they had returned to their fishing after the Lord had risen from the dead. Now remember, this is for Peter. So number two, I want you to notice verses 9 through 14. And I want you to see here the reminder of failure. I've already mentioned to you that everything here is designed to reach out to Peter, but Peter had to remember his failure. You can't ever be helped, folks, unless you first of all just know I've done something wrong and I need help. Well, he'd let the Lord down with all of his denials when Jesus needed him. And everything about this breakfast scene here that we're about to see was put together to remind Peter of what happened a few weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that Jesus had evidently already met one time with Peter, and now he's about to meet with him a second time. And I want you to notice what happens. And there's several elements in this story that were designed to remind Peter that he had failed. For example, look in verse 9. You read in verse 9 that one of the first things the disciples saw when they got to land was a fire of coals. Don't miss those things in the Bible when you read the Bible. You read that phrase one other time in the New Testament, John 18. You remember Peter once told Jesus that if everybody else denied him, he never would. But that night when Jesus was arrested, Peter followed behind Christ afar off to see what was going to happen. And he was slipping around in the courtyard outside where Jesus had been taken. There were some people there who had a fire of coals, and they were warming themselves, and Peter joined them. And it was around that crowd that Peter denied the Lord. Y'all remember that? This means yes, okay? Y'all remember that? All right. Now notice again what you have here. Once again, you got a fire of coals. And Jesus is getting to Peter. He's setting Peter up to remind him that he had failed. Now, maybe you're here today, and there's a certain place, or there's a certain situation, and every time you are around that, it reminds you of a time when you failed. Maybe you drive down a certain street. It reminds you of a time when you failed. Maybe there's a home. Maybe there's a business. Every time you go by that home, by that business, you're reminded that somehow in the past you failed the Lord. You know, maybe it's not a place. Maybe it's a person. And when you see that person or you hear their name, bingo, it comes to mind. You know, I failed the Lord then. Maybe you spoke an ugly word. Maybe you damaged their reputation in some way. But listen, all of us at some times have failed the Lord in our lives, just like Peter. So there is this fire of coals. And again, you know, Peter's beginning to put things together. Look down here in verse 10. The Lord said down in verse 10, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And the Bible says in verse 11 that Peter just jumped right to it, started getting all those fish up on the bank. And then Jesus said in verse 12, come and dine. He had fish on the fire cooking. He invited the disciples to eat breakfast with him. Now let me tell you something. Let me teach you something right here. You've never heard of this, I'm sure. In our churches, and I bet you right here on the front of this communion table, and y'all going to have to help me because I can't see it. Does that say, this do in remembrance of me? Is there something up there? And what is this communion table up here for? This is not a hard question, folks. What is this up here for? What do we use a communion table for? Hello? Yeah, the Lord's Supper. And we all know about the Lord's Supper. Do you know there's a Lord's Breakfast? That's right. Y'all look at me like I'm nuts. Yeah, look right here, right here. You know, it's the Lord's Breakfast. This is what we call the Lord's Breakfast. We have the Lord's Supper. We celebrate what Christ did on the cross and all that He did for us, reminder of salvation. But then on the other hand, the Lord's Breakfast to me is a picture of commitment. Of commitment. It teaches us some lessons about commitment to Christ. But notice here that Christ is serving breakfast. You know, this is a day in which we live when we're always talking about our rights. You know, the African-American community talks about civil rights, and the women talk about women's rights, and everybody's talking about their rights, my personal rights. You know, we're all in this for me. What can I do for me? We don't want to serve anybody. We want to be served. Let me tell you what. Jesus was a servant. The Lord Jesus was here feeding His disciples breakfast. You remember a week or two before this, He was in the upper room with His disciples. He told them about His approaching death. Then He took a towel, went around, washed their feet. He served them. You know, there's practically nobody who wants to serve today, but Jesus was a servant, and get this, He taught us to do the same. Now, I don't know if y'all have a nominating committee around here. Well, they're going to be working before long, and you need to find a place of service. But now, there's a key word in verse 12 I don't want you to miss. What did Jesus tell His disciples to do? Notice what He said. He said, come and dine. You see that word come? That's one of the greatest words in the Bible. It's the great word of God to all of mankind. Come. All the way through the Bible, you hear the Lord say, come. Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Jesus said one time, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. One of the last things the Bible says in those closing pages is, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. That's the great invitation of the Lord God, is to come. And the Lord says to you today, come. If you are a failure today, if you have failed God in some way, God says to you, come, come back, see. Well, I want you to notice this is a reminder of failure to Peter. All these things are designed to make him think about his denials of the Lord. He failed the Lord. But now, let's wrap this thing up. I want you to notice verse 15 down to the end of the chapter. Notice the restoring of fervor. You know, I've already mentioned that this whole episode was designed by the Lord for one purpose. It's designed to reach out to Peter who had failed. It was designed to restore him in his walk to the Lord, with the Lord, and it was designed to restore him in service. And the Bible says when the Lord and the disciples had finished breakfast, now notice this, pay close attention, this is where we've been building the whole time. They had finished the fish, they were sitting on the shore, sun had come up, they were sitting talking, and the Lord turned to Peter and He asked him three questions. You remember that Peter denied the Lord three times. And so Jesus dealt with Peter by asking him three questions. Notice in verse 15 what Jesus said. Down in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I don't want you to miss this. We're talking about Peter, but what did Jesus just call Peter? He called him Simon. That was his old name. You remember when Jesus first met Peter, that he changed his name from Simon to Peter. The name Peter means rock. And Jesus was telling Peter he would make a new man out of him when he called him that. But now the Lord goes back and he picks up that old name Simon and he calls Peter by the name Simon three different times. Now don't miss that. What's the Lord doing there? Well, he was reminding Peter that he was now living like the old man he used to be. You know, that's what happens when we fail the Lord in our lives. When I fail the Lord in my life, that's what I do. I go back to living like the person I was before I met Jesus, and that's not a pretty picture. And we practice wrong in our lives. And there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who are just like that. They have reverted back to their old habits and their old lifestyle they lived before they were saved. And so three times Jesus called Peter by his old name, Simon, Simon, Simon. Do you love me? And that word love there, and you've probably heard these sermons before, that's the greatest word you can use for love, the Greek word agape. It speaks of an intense, sacrificial, complete love. That's the word, John 3:16, for God so agape the world. God so loved the world. Simon, do you love me? Now, don't miss this. Do you love me a bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck? Do you love me with a complete, sacrificial, sold-out kind of love? Is that the way you love me? And notice what Jesus asked. Do you love me more than these? Now, don't miss this. I believe he was talking about those other disciples right there. Peter, do you love me more than these other guys? And the Lord was getting back to what Peter had bragged one time. Once he had bragged, Lord, if all of these other folks deny you, I will not deny you. Peter, do you still feel that way? Do you love me like that? Well, notice what Peter said in verse 15. He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. But now, you'll not see this in the English translation, but you'll have to get your Greek New Testament out. That word Peter used right there for the word love is the word phileo. It means a brotherly love. We get our word Philadelphia from that word. It's the kind of word for a buddy or a friend. It's how you might feel about a close friend. Lord, I love you like a friend. Lord, I love you like a buddy. So the Lord was saying, Simon, okay, do you love me 100%? Are you totally sold out to me? He'd say to everybody in this congregation, are you 100% sold out to Jesus? Peter was saying, Lord, I phileo you. I love you 60%. Lord, I love you like a buddy. Lord, I love you like a close friend. Lord, I have affection for you. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why didn't Peter say he loved the Lord the other way that Jesus spoke of? Well, I believe he'd learned his lesson. Because, you see, he had bragged one time he loved the Lord more than anybody. But he'd failed in that. Stuck his foot in his mouth. And now he's just being honest. He's afraid to say too much. He would no longer boast of his love for the Lord. You know, too many people talk glibly and too quickly about how much they love Jesus. And we stand in our churches and we'll sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And most of us are the biggest liars on the planet. I believe he's just being honest. Well, in verse 16, Jesus asked the second time, Simon, do you love me? And he uses the same word he used the first time. Do you love me 100%, sold out completely, whole hog? Simon, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I have affection for you. And then in verse 17, the Lord said, Simon, do you love me? And this time he changed the word. He said, Peter, do you have affection for me? Using Peter's word here for love. And it grieved Peter that the Lord asked him a third time if he loved him. And he said, yes, Lord, you know I have strong affection for you. Now, what was Jesus doing in all this? He was testing Peter at this point where it makes a difference in a person's life. And that point is this, and this is the question I'm going to ask you. Really, I don't ask you, the Lord asks you. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you really love the Lord Jesus? Jesus would say, do you love me? It's not, do you love this church? It's not, do you love your Sunday school teacher? It's not, do you love Brother Mark, your pastor, when he was here for 16 years? The real question is, do you love Jesus? Is that the driving motivation in your life? That's what the Christian faith's all about. Not do you love the church. There's a local church in the area. They had a big promotion in their church. Everybody put on t-shirts. And on the front of the t-shirt it said, I love so-and-so church. Well, that's all right. I know what they were trying to get at. But it's not do you love the church. And it's not do you love your pastor. And it's not do you love your Sunday school teacher. The whole idea is, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus? Is that the driving motivation in your life? How much do you love Him? And here's the question. Can you tell it by the way you live? Uh-oh. Can you tell it by the way you serve the Lord? Uh-oh. I mean, the Lord sees the way we sometimes exclude Him from our lives. And He sees how we sometimes ignore Him, and He sees how we sometimes disobey and fail Him, and in a thousand ways we give the Lord grounds to wonder, do you really love me? Well, if you do, prove it. You know, I've been doing what I do a lot of years now. I got to thinking the other day. I've been in the ministry for 48 years. Now, I know I don't look over 39, but I've been in the ministry that long. I'm tired of playing church. I go to all these churches. You know, I pastored three churches at one church 26 years. I go to all these churches, and I see it all the time in our churches. And our churches are just eat up with folks who just don't have any commitment. And they're just going through a routine all the time. Maybe come Sunday morning, won't come back next Sunday morning, a few more come back Sunday night, maybe a few on Wednesday night. And just you watch their lives out there in the world, and you watch their lives, and the proof is not in the pudding, folks. Jesus would say to us, if you love me, prove it. Clean up your language. Abandon the sin in your life. Get more faithful in your church attendance instead of being spiritually lazy. Get up and cook a meal for somebody in need. Pass out gospel tracts. Go see somebody who's sick, who needs to be ministered to. Share your faith with others. I mean, serve faithfully in the Lord's church, but for goodness sakes, live like a believer ought to live. Don't stand there and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and be lying in your life. Hello, anybody out there? Well, Peter was grieved in his heart, and he said, Lord, you know I've got strong affection for you. And the Lord said, okay, Peter, that's at least a start. And look what Jesus said. Three times he talked about, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And I don't have time to go into all that. Let me just ask the question, what did that mean? It just meant that the Lord was giving Peter another chance. He was recommissioning Peter. He was restoring Peter who had failed him miserably. And the Lord was telling Peter to feed and care for His people as one of the leaders in the early church that would be established. And Peter got another chance. Praise God. And God's willing to do that for you if you have failed Him. If you fail the Lord in some way in your life, there's good news. The Lord wants to give you another chance. He offers that to you today. But you must be willing to turn from wrong in your life and accept God's forgiveness and take that second chance. And the question is, will you do that? Well, it's time for me to close. I want to close by asking you three questions this morning. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And the musicians are going to come and we're going to have an invitation hymn. And this is a time for you to reflect on your relationship to Jesus. And it just might be that this morning, as you reflect on your relationship with Christ and how much you love Him, you might want to come. If you want to come and talk to this pastor, we can pray together, that would be great. If you want to come and kneel around this platform and just pray to the Father directly yourself, you can do that too. If you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a very simple thing to do. If you mean it in your heart, just ask Him to forgive your sin, come into your life and save you, and He will. And then you come and make that decision public. If you need to recommit your life to the Lord, then you come and do that. Come pray, as I said, at the altar. Share with a pastor if that's what you want to do. If you're looking for a church home and somehow God has led this place to you as a place of service, then you come and join these folks here and be a part of this fellowship. Or if you just want to come for prayer, that'd be great too. But in a moment when we sing our invitation hymn, you come and do what the Lord would have you do. Father, I pray now, Lord, that You'll move across this room and do certainly what I can't do and work in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls and help decisions be made for Christ today. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.